Welcome to the Entrepreneur Success Formula podcast, where we'll be getting down to earth with real entrepreneurs who work hard and know that success is more than a mindset, because it takes blood, guts, and a bucket full of luck to survive and thrive in the world of business today. And oh boy, do we mean that right now. My name is Damian Mark Smith, and I'm going to be your host for the show and author of the Entrepreneur Success Formula, How Thriving Business Owners Actually Do It. And in this episode, I'm speaking with someone who launched a business yesterday. Woo! James Cole. He launched Panache Cruises absolutely yesterday. Panache Cruises, my goodness. Well, we're going to have a good conversation around this. James has been in the cruise industry for 23 years and he sells cruise holidays to UK customers globally. So, James, welcome to the show.
Hi, Damien. Thanks
for having me. How are you doing? Great. So, when did you start the business? Yesterday. Why did you start the business? And that's a very good question, because you know people are thinking, oh, cruises, who's going to want to go on cruises at the moment? Well, actually, it's a great time to buy holidays. We know this because we've done some recently. And when did you get your first customer? Well, you haven't had one yet, I'm sure. So why did you start? Let's go with that one. Why did you start?
Yeah, like you said, I've been in the cruise industry since 1998, so I've seen it go through all sorts of ups and downs, from Costa Concordia sinking to the aftermath of 9/11 to the ash cloud crisis. You know, undoubtedly, coronavirus is the biggest issue, and it's a massive mountain for everybody to climb. And specifically, you know, the cruise industry. I think everybody knows we've had a lot of bad press over the course of the last couple of months. But at the end of the day, you know, business is a long-term view, isn't it? And, you know, the cruise industry has a long-term view. The cruise lines own their ships for a long time. This business is, you know, it's not set up for today or tomorrow. It's set up for what's going to happen in 3, 5, or 10 years' time. So it's very much a long-term view we're having. Yes, there's some work to do. Yes, we have got hurdles to jump over, but I just feel now is the right time to get in there and you know, to really add our mark. This will be probably about the 7th or 8th cruise brand that I've started, and this one, you know, is going to take all of those experiences and knowledge that I've built over the last couple of decades. It makes me sound really old, doesn't it? But I'm confident that we can make a success of it.
Well, it's very interesting. And yes, like in 2008, you know, the smart money went and bought property when obviously the value of property dropped. And, you know, I've recently bought some shares on exactly that basis. So, you know, you would actually argue that the smart money will go to places where, you know, 80% of the people will kind of run away from it. And the 20% of the smart money will go towards it and say, well, actually, you know, this is an industry that is going to change. Every industry is going to change, I think, without a doubt. Every industry is going to change, but the ones who suffered the most are actually going to get the most input in terms of how to do it properly. So actually, it's a really smart move.
Well, I think that the comfort I have about going back into cruise is the cruise industry, for me, especially in travel, is the most dynamic and innovative in the sector. Lines invest billions and billions of pounds into new cruise ships, into their product, and they'll do exactly the same to get through this crisis and, you know, give the customers the reassurance they need to get back on board. You know, cruisers know what a brilliant product cruising is, and, you know, I know a lot of cruisers can't wait to get back on board, but there's some work to do to convince new to cruise to come on to cruise products. But that work's already underway, and we'll help with that with the launch of Panache Cruises.
Fantastic. So you mentioned you've launched 8 other brands. So how did you kind of get into cruises? What was the background behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of fell into the market, to be perfectly honest. So I finished university. I did a bachelor's degree. I then did an MBA straight after that. And after those you know, two visits to university, I wanted a job. And I ended up doing a commercial analyst role at the then Air Tours Holidays. And it was within Air Tours that I was introduced to cruise. We used to own and operate 5 cruise ships at the time. In 1998, we were the UK's second biggest cruise line, Air Tours Sun Cruises. So from there, I've just really stayed in the industry. So, and it's such a fantastic industry. The people in it are so good. You know, you get on with your competitors. You know, everything's just done you know, it's just a really nice place to work.
Fantastic. What's been your biggest mental challenge you've had to overcome? And I'm going to make it relevant. You know, with obviously what's happened with COVID-19, what would you say is the biggest mental challenge you've had to overcome with this?
Well, the biggest challenge, which I guess turned into the biggest mental challenge, was when I launched my last business, which ended up being three brands: Cruise 118, Six Star Cruises, and River Voyages. The overall business was WTH UK. And we launched that in 2008, believe it or not. But we launched it instead of knowing what was happening, i.e. we're launching during a crisis. So it's, you know, it's our responsibility and we're accountable for what happens to the business as we're launching through coronavirus. Unfortunately, we launched just before the recession. So we sold our first cruise 10 weeks before Lehman Brothers went under.
Yeah.
So we had all these grand plans. We'd raised about £1 million in funding from the bank, from friends and family, from Dragon's Den type appearances. And within 6 months, we were facing going bust. So it was a real, real strain to get through those first couple of winters. You know, winter in travel is when your cash flow is at the lowest. And it was a real, real strain. And, you know, it's one of those, and a lot of people say, don't they, you learn the most from your worst experiences. And I've learned so much from that experience. And, you know, I'm pleased to say that I sold WTH in 2018, or my final shareholdings in WTH in 2018. And the business was turning over 100 million and there were 200 staff there. So, you know, we eventually got it to where we wanted it to be, but it was a lot of grit and determination it took to get through that hardship.
I just want to dig into that for a little bit, because I think that's a really key point. And anyone listening to this, you know, we go over pretty much the same questions. But I think for people right now, they're thinking, okay, well, you know what? Because we get a lot of people listening to this show who are actually employees thinking about becoming entrepreneurs. What brought you through that moment when you're thinking, you know, what the hell do I do?
Yeah, it's difficult, and let's not beat about the bush. You know, some days you don't think you're going to get through it, and you know you don't want to get through it. You wish you were doing a more menial job. You know, you'll take anything, but it's resolve, it's determination, it's believing in yourself, it's making sure that you can see. You know, I suppose you could take it to the more positive about starting up. You know, we're going to have a lot of issues when we start up in the marketplace that we go into, but we're looking at 3-5 years down the line at what our goal may be to achieve in 3 to 5 years, and everything that we do will be to achieve that goal. You know, we'll set things up to make sure that we get through things, and that's all we did back then. It was just sheer grit, determination, a bit of naivety thrown in there as well. I think that sometimes, doesn't it? So, just, you know, sheer grit and determination, I would say.
So I'm gonna take this next question back to then, right? That's 2008, and make it about that specific thing, because we can't say, you know, what would you do differently if you had to start again yesterday? So if you had to start all over again in 2008 without the hindsight, right? So you didn't know this was coming. What would you have done differently?
In 2008, I think the key thing is to, you know, again, have goals, have a target, have a plan. Now, again, we all know that if you have a plan in business and you try and implement that plan exactly as you had it, it won't happen. It doesn't.
Never does.
Having a plan is the key thing. You know, numbers, ideas, that's great. But, you know, again, they say cash is king. It absolutely is king,
totally.
Especially in a new business startup. So you might, again, you might start a business and not have enough cash. I don't necessarily think that's the wrong way of doing things. You know, that is the true entrepreneurial way of doing things, you know, just going for it. And, you know, as you get down the line, understanding what your cash requirements are, but you always have to make sure you're controlling your cash.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a good business and you're building up a good head of steam, you know, cash will come to you, I think, and, you know, people will be interested in building it. And it's, you know, I've had a few issues with banks. You know, I've got 20 years experience. I've built two businesses that have turned over 100 million. But will some banks like a new startup, even before the coronavirus? No. So, you know, I was faced with the opportunity of actually potentially starting the business and then borrowing money as we went along. So, you know, I think you just have control of your cash is the key thing, and yeah, making sure those costs are as tight as possible. That would be the one thing I would probably do if I was starting from scratch.
I totally agree with that. So if you were in charge of UK business, what legislation would you introduce at this moment to help entrepreneurs?
This is an interesting one. I think the key thing for me would be to help investors invest in new startups. So I think there's two really good schemes out there, EIS and SEIS. I'd potentially over the next 12 months merge the two together and take the best from each one. Mm-hmm. So take the best, you know, take the limits off SEIS, which I think is only 150,000 overall investment you can get, which has got significant tax benefits. I'd take the limits off that and let people loose on investing in new business. Give them the encouragement to invest in new and exciting ideas and businesses.
Brilliant. I like that one. What has been your best marketing tactic and why?
Oh, geez, best market. I can tell you the best marketing piece we ever did. The best marketing piece we ever did was we constructed a cruise that cost £1 million. Wow. It was a genuine cruise. You could have booked it. I'm sad to say nobody did, but we did have a couple of inquiries. But again, just the, as we're seeing with coronavirus, you know, social media just and 24/7 news coverage just plays havoc positively or negatively in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And this £1 million cruise, it went absolutely mental. It was something like 39 countries we got featured in. We were on breakfast TV. We were asked for our ideas and our thoughts from places like Australia and India, and it just went absolutely mental. So, you know, I think having creative and different ideas, that's, you know, a good example of that.
I love that. That's great. It's about disruption, isn't it? About getting attention. I know when Airbnb started up, they were looking at, you know, what would an 11-star service look like? And I remember one thing they said was like, you know, what if we turned up at your house and the guy opened the door and said, hey, I hear you like surfing. You can use my surfboard. Here are the keys to my Maserati. And by the way, I booked your, you know, seats at the best restaurant in town. That would be like an 11-star service. Of course, that then added to what Airbnb created, because it was like, how can we upgrade? How can we upgrade? How can we upgrade? So I love that one. Found cruise, that's brilliant. I'm going to be thinking along those lines now. It's like, oh, actually, that's a really good idea. It does remind me of the printer who came up with the Swarovski crystal business card, right? They actually have embedded crystals into the card, and it's a very popular business card for people in Essex, apparently. If you were a young entrepreneur starting out today, I'm going to say this to you because you're a young entrepreneur, right? What's the very first thing you did yesterday, James?
What's the very first thing I did yesterday?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I get up early, I get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and it's a new regime that I've got into in about the last 3 months. I've got a 6-month-old baby, so, you know, being on lockdown is very challenging, as you can imagine. So the only way to do things is to get up early and get, you know, 3 or 4 hours good working. So I get myself sorted first thing in the morning, and I do two or three most important things as soon as I get up. I've already
eat
done
that
those.
Frog. I love it. Brilliant. Right. What is your favourite business book and why?
Well, again, I'm going to repeat myself. Currently, it's Robin Sharma's The 5 a.m. Club, funnily enough. I took a lot from that one, and I've implemented the ideas. But I think any business book, you know, I'm always reading, I'm always gaining knowledge, and you know, looking for self-development. That's the latest one that I like.
Fantastic. And what is your favourite business or entrepreneurial movie, and why? And if they made a movie about you, who would play you?
Oh, geez, that's a really good question. Entrepreneurial movie. I do like The Wolf of Wall Street, I've got to say. I don't subscribe to many of his the tactics that were used in The Wolf of Wall Street, but I have read Jordan Belfort's book since the movie. But I do like that movie. Who would play me? I don't know. It probably have to be somebody quite short. I'm not the tallest person in the world. I don't know. I've no idea.
I reckon if Simon Sinek took up acting, he could play you, Simon Sinek.
There you go.
Right, what are your plans for the future, and how are you going to expand the business? Bearing in mind it started yesterday, this is a good start. Get on a podcast.
No, good start. Recruit a team, of course. Speak to the cruise lines. Let's get the operational side set up. But, our main focus is going to be looking after customers. So, you know, it's appalling the customer service that's out there in this day and age. You know, when I call someone, I just want them to answer the phone. I don't want to be pressing one for this, two for that, three for the other. So, you know, just the essence of what we'll be doing from a customer service point of view is you call us, we answer you. You ask us a question, we'll answer the question. We won't hide behind the fact that we're a call centre operation. You know, we'll embrace technology and we'll use technology, but we'll be real people talking to customers and adding value and helping them. And, you know, I'm ashamed to say that that'll differentiate us from a lot of people out there.
It's true, though.
It's something that's very close to my heart that, going above and beyond from a customer service perspective.
Fantastic. Well, you've got a great brand, you've got a great name, you've got a great work ethic, and you've got a great background as well. So I really wish you luck with that. If listeners or viewers want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
Via our website. There's still only a holding page there on the website. We did only launch, it was a soft launch yesterday, just on Facebook, just get some awareness out there. But there'll be a website, a full website up there in the next few weeks. But panachecruises.com.
And on Facebook, what's your Facebook page?
Panache Cruises.
Fantastic. Good stuff. James, thank you so much for taking this brief delve into the real lives of entrepreneurs. Can I ask you and anyone else listening or viewing to share this podcast with anyone else who thinks you maybe wants to become an entrepreneur, maybe wants to set up a new business, or maybe they already have a business, they are a business owner and they need a little bit of help and support and some, you know, some real life podcast instead of these like 6, 7, 8 figure stuff, which we do. We get people on the show that actually do that, but they actually give the real story. The shortcut is the long way around, as we say. So thank you very much. If you could subscribe on iTunes, like us on YouTube as well. And if you'd like to take part in the show, just drop me an email at Damien with an A at rethinkingbusiness.biz and we can have a chat. James, here's to your future success. I wish you the best of luck with Panache Cruises. I hope you absolutely smash it, and see you soon.
Thanks, Damien.